This morning, I want to talk to you about Calvary. If you'll take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 23, and when you turn there, because we've been sitting for a few minutes, I'll have you stand and we'll read some scripture, stretch our legs, have a word of prayer, and then get started this morning. In Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 32. The Bible says, And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his garments and cast lots. And the people stood before beholding, and the rulers also with him deride him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you and ask you to manifest your word today. Lord, I can do nothing without you, but we do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You said when the Spirit of God has come upon us, we shall be witnesses and we would have your power. And Lord, we know that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And so, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit and this and the Word of God powerfully would affect our hearts and our lives today. I pray we'd be drawn closer to you. And those that may not be saved, I pray today they would come trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I looked up some time ago experts that described for us what the greatest events in the world were. They are experts, so we must believe them, correct? Let me share with you what they say are the greatest events that ever happened in the world. They say, number one, the digital revolution. Number two, the civil rights movement. Number three, Sputnik, the first satellite in space. Number four, the Cold War. Number five, World War II. Number six, the Great Depression. Number seven, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand II, which sparked World War I. Number eight on their list was the medical revolution with the discovery of vaccines, pills, and antibiotics. Number nine was the industrial revolution, and number 10 was the Civil War. Going down the list to number 21 was the life of Muhammad, and on number 22 on their list of the greatest events that ever took place in the world is the life of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that the greatest event that has ever happened in the history of the world was Calvary. It was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Calvary is the real place where the greatest event took place in history. Calvary means skull, and it is outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And at this specific place, criminals of society were crucified. at this place, not only were criminals crucified, but our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified there 2,000 years ago. Today I want to take you back to this place called Calvary. We have the passage of it and this event that takes place that we just read to you, and share with you the greatest event that ever took place in history. As we look at this event and we go back in time, and I hope you can go back in your imagination and place yourself there of this event and this time and think about what Jesus did for you. As we look at this event, I want to share with you five things that took place here. Number one, I want to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins and my sins and this day. In verse 33, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." Crucifixion is one of the most painful ways a person can die. And the Romans perfected this method of torture, for it was designed to produce a slow death with maximum suffering. Jesus was first scourged with a whip full of pieces of bones that ripped open the flesh and the body and the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they put upon Jesus this robe to march him to the cross. And then after the clotting, bloody wounds were reopened as they ripped open his clothes for the cross. Next, the Roman soldiers threw Jesus upon the dusty ground to nail him to the cross. And his wounds were then contaminated with dirt. Then next, they drove nails into the hands or the wrist of Jesus, which severely severed his large median nerve in his hand, producing bolts of fiery pain in his arms, and gave Jesus claw-like hands. By hanging on the cross, the normal breathing was restricted by the weight of the body pulling down on the arms and the shoulders and the fixed respiratory muscle and to a state of inhalation and hindered exhalation of his breath. To get good breath, Jesus had to push against the nail-pierced feet to breathe each time for 6 hours. The body would experience severe muscle cramps during this crucifixion experience. Lifting his naked body to breathe each time would also scrape his back against the rough post that he was nailed to each time he breathed. Insects would then lighten upon his eyes, his ears, and his nose as he hung upon the cross. Death through crucifixion would become acute. There would because of acute shock and loss of blood, or because someone became too exhausted to breathe any longer, or dehydration, or stress-induced heart failure, or the legs being broken sometimes and the victim was unable to breathe because of the posture on the cross. According to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was placed upon the cross at the third hour, meaning 9 a.m. And darkness came upon the earth in the sixth hour, meaning 12 p.m., and lasted until the ninth hour at 3 p.m. God's wrath was poured upon Jesus Christ during this time of darkness upon the earth. And at 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, let me tell you why it's answered for us in the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On this day in history, Jesus did not lose his life, but Jesus gave his life willingly for us. John chapter 10 and verse 18 says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." So this morning, the greatest event that ever took place in the history of the world was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When we look at the greatest event that ever took place in the history of the world, I want you to notice the second thing: the criminals that were crucified alongside Jesus Christ. Two men were to be put to death at the same time that Jesus was crucified. We see that in verse 32. In verse 32, the Bible says, "And there was also two others, malefactors, led," or criminals, "led with him to be put to death." These two criminals were placed, one on Jesus' right hand and the other on Jesus' left hand. In verse 33, the Bible tells us this, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors," or criminals, "one on the right hand and the other on the left." These two criminals, we are not told about their crime, but we knew they both were guilty and they both deserved to be put to death. For the Bible tells us in verse 41, and the Bible says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds." I suspect that these two men knew each other, for they seem to know each other's sin. It says, "We indeed justly." Does one criminal say to the other criminal, imploring perhaps that they knew each other as criminals? Perhaps maybe they were even partners in the crime that they were being crucified for. One criminal on Jesus' side demanded action from Jesus, and he demanded Jesus to save him from the cross. In verse 39, the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." The irony of those words are this, that Jesus was doing exactly that. That the criminal had an opportunity to be saved eternally by him dying on the cross for his sin. His deliverance wasn't taking him from the cross. His deliverance was delivering him from his sin. It is often so important for us as humans to live, right? To be healthy and to be saved in this life. But I want to remind you this morning, but it is not this life that we ought to be most concerned about. It is the next life. For after this life, we have an eternity somewhere in a place called heaven or a place called hell. They are real places today. They're as real as Rusk, Texas, or Medina, Ohio, or Akron, Ohio. It's a real place. I wonder this morning, which life are you more concerned with? We live in a world that's concerned about this life, and there are certainly things to be concerned about. But I implore you this morning to be worried about your next life. Your life that will spend in eternity somewhere. If you live to be 100 or 120 on this life, it's so short of a life. But somewhere in eternity you will spend. This greatest event that ever took place, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We see the crucifixion. We see the criminals. But thirdly, I want you to see the crowd at the crucifixion. Next in this story, notice the crowd of people at this event and their response to Jesus Christ. The rulers, first of all, at the crucifixion sneered at Jesus because he saved others, but himself he could not save. The Bible says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him deride him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. By the way, it was not that Jesus could not save himself, but rather his crucifixion purpose was for saving you and I from our sins in a place called hell. Then we see the soldiers at the cross. At the crucifixion, they mocked Jesus, saying, if you be the king, save yourself. In verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The world just can't understand how someone with the power and the authority of God would suffer for other people's sins. But thank God Jesus did. Then we see the crowd of people at the crucifixion that day. We are told in the Gospel of John that their response was, away with him, away with him, crucify him. That is the response of the crowd that day. Many people today, unfortunately, are still dismissing the gospel of Jesus Christ and saying away with him. They dismiss the greatest event that ever happened on the face of the earth. Think about this. The greatest event that ever happened in the history of the world was for you and I. But yet the world seems to have missed it. They seem to be focused on all the wrong things. All the wrong things. All the unimportant things. But 2,000 years ago, a great event took place, the greatest event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The followers of Jesus, they mostly fled during his crucifixion, except for a few women and a few acquaintances of him. They left him. Fourthly, this morning, on the greatest event that ever took place in the earth, I want you to notice the confession of one. Notice there was one man that day, a criminal hanging on the cross next to Jesus, dying. But he has a change of heart. Look, if you would, in verse 40. The Bible says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. Amen. I want to share with you a few moments, some thoughts about this confession of this sinner. I want you to notice this man, this confession, this sinner before the Messiah on the cross. There are some important things to see about him. First of all, we see this sinner knew and understood that Jesus was God. In verse 40, the Bible says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, doest not thou fear God? Different than the other criminal on the other side of Jesus, God, whereas he said, if thou be the Christ. But this sinner knew that he was God. This sinner knew that he deserved punishment and that would keep him from God. The Bible says, we indeed justly have received our due reward of our deeds. One must see themselves as God does. One must see themselves as this sinner on the cross did. One must see themselves as a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you compare yourself with me, you probably look pretty good. But when we prepare ourselves compare ourselves with the Son of God, the perfect, sinless one, the Holy One that no one could look upon because he is so glorious in his glorious state. We find that we fall short of the glory of God. This sinner realized that he deserved the punishment that he was getting on the cross of Calvary. And by the way, you and I deserve the punishment if Christ would have never came that we deserve in a place called hell. This sinner knew that Jesus was innocent. In verse 41, look at the middle of the verse, it says, "But this man had done nothing amiss." Jesus was the sinless lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. All the Jews knew from the beginning of time that one innocent lamb had to pay the price, take the blame for sin and die. God taught this lesson to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When an innocent lamb had to be slain and the covering and the blood was shed to cover their sins, that is called atonement. Jesus now, the sinless, innocent Lamb of God, taketh away the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. Then I notice about this sinner, he believed that Jesus was who God said he was. The Bible says, "When thou comest into thy kingdom," Jesus professed to be God, and God has a kingdom and it's in heaven. And this lost criminal believed that. He said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom." He understood that on this earth and this life was just temporary, but there's a better place. Aren't you glad there's a better place? Boy, we just look around and watch the news. Don't watch the news. You want to watch? You want to get depressed? The best way to do that is just watch the news. You just watch the news and the wicked. You literally, the first 15 minutes of the news, by the way, is the worst murders in the world, and they don't even get to the rest of the murders in society. But they tell you about the mass murders and the mass shootings and the great controversies of today. But we live in a sad world today. But this sinner knew that Jesus offered a better place, a better kingdom, and he looked forward to that. This sinner finally calls upon Jesus for salvation. And he says this, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." It wasn't a long prayer. It wasn't a flowery prayer. It was a simple prayer for Jesus to save his soul from hell. Isn't it wonderful? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not the exact words that you pray that gets one saved, but rather it's a heart belief and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder this morning, have you been saved? I wonder if you come to the realization that you deserve to be on the cross and suffer and die in a place called hell for an eternity. Have you confessed that Jesus... Have you confessed before God that you're a sinner and asked him to save you? I did that as a 15-year-old boy. I got scared about hell and eternity. And I struggled whether it was true or not. And one day I got really smart. And I thought, boy, if hell's real, I got a lot to lose. And I got on my knees beside my bed and I confessed my sin and asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. I didn't get saved to be a preacher. I didn't get saved to be good. I got saved for one reason, to go to heaven and miss hell. But I got news for you. The thief on the cross, he got saved for one reason. Amen. He didn't get saved to be a good preacher or a good person. He got saved so he'd not spend an eternity in a place called hell. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest event that ever took place in the world resulted in a sinner, a worthless individual that never did anything good in his life, got saved. This sinner also got assurance of everlasting life. In verse 43, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, or verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Can you imagine how comforting it had to be? And here's a man dying on the cross. He's suffering in great pain, and he knows he's going to go out to eternity. And Jesus is being crucified next to him, and he calls out for salvation. And he says, "Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it, but I want it. And I know you're able." And Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." I imagine there had to be some comfort in those words. If he believed that Jesus was God and dying on the cross for his sins, and he believed that there was an eternity and a kingdom that Christ was going to, it had to bring assurance to his life and a blessing to know that today, he'd spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you don't have to work or suffer on a cross or do anything to earn salvation? But it is a gift to God, a gift of God to us who receive it by faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by faith are ye saved through grace." It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm sure glad it's not of works. This sinner, this condemned sinner, he's sure glad it's not of works. Because as far as we know, he never did anything good or worthy in his life to earn any merit. But guess what? I got news for you this morning. You don't either. We could take the best person in here that has lived the most holy life, but you would deserve hell and you'd fall short of the glory of God. And without Christ as your Savior, you'll go there. But thank goodness for Jesus. It's your faith. It is you believing what he said, you trusting what he did. So this morning, we see the confession of one. But today you could be saved and born again, just as this sinner did on the greatest day in the history of the world. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I close with this thought. I want to share with you the fifth thing. We see the chosen of God. The rulers thought if Jesus was really the Messiah, the chosen one, he would save himself. But Jesus was more interested in saving you. In verse 35, if you'll look there, the Bible says, "And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them deride him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." Think about that phrase, the chosen of God. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And they parted his garments. Jesus truly was the chosen one. He was chosen by God. Notice this verse. Don't turn here, but in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In John chapter 3 and verse 34, the Bible says, "For whom God has sent, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God." I close with this familiar verse from you. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, die and go to hell for an eternity, "but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let me tell you, that's the greatest event that ever took place in the history of the world. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know why you go to hell? You go to hell not because you're a sinner. We're all sinners. You go to hell because you step over the cross of Jesus Christ and you ignore what he did for you and you reject his payment for your sins. He already paid for your sins. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, he paid the price, the ultimate price. He paid the price that only he could do so that you could spend an eternity with him. The chosen of God. God chose his Son to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sin. I hope you're saved. On this day, we celebrate Palm Sunday. On this day, we think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But I wanted to let you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not as smart as these other people on the internet are. But I'm smart enough to know this. Jesus died on the cross for me. And I put my faith and trust in him. And I hope you've done that today. If you've not done that, you could do that. You could step out this morning and be saved. You could come to the altar. You could get saved in your seat. It's simply saying, "Lord, remember me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve salvation, but I know you died, you buried, and you rose again. And I want to come into your kingdom and be with you someday." It's simple faith. So in a world that celebrates all kinds of holidays and heroes, in a world that looks at events and, you know, we have Olympics and we have, you name it, we have races and we have championships and basketball and football and all these other things. And the world is so preoccupied with such unimportant things, the greatest event to ever take place in the world. Pardon my going against the experts, but it was what Jesus did for us. And today we can appreciate that if you're saved. And I hope that you will. And if you're here and you're not saved, I would encourage you to come and get saved. Thank Jesus. Let's bow our heads.